certainly are thankful for the presence of all of you here this morning. We have some visitors. We are glad for your presence. And as we give you an invitation each time, we hope that you have other opportunities to be back with us. We assemble here twice on Sunday morning for classes at 10 and then our worship together at 10:45. This evening we will meet once again at 6 o'clock and then Wednesday evening at 7:30. We gather for classes. In all of these, we sing songs of praise unto God, and we study His Word. We do those things that we feel and we believe are pleasing in His sight. And you would be welcome to be with us during those times. For this morning, I'd like to continue a lesson or a series of lessons that I began last week on relationships. Last week we talked about the ultimate one, I believe, and that is God and the individual. We talked about God's role and God's giving man certain things. And we also talked about man's relationship then to God, what man needs to do in that relationship with God. This is something that people are concerned with in our society. We find a lot of experts telling us all different kinds of relationships, how to enter those relationships, what to do in those relationships, the roles of everybody in there, what is best for us. And we have thousands upon thousands of those who are experts who want to tell us how this is done. But in these relationships, one thing that we discover is this, that God created them. And since God created them, He is the one that dictates the rules and the roles for the individuals in these relationships. And whatever that relationship might be, God has given roles and rules to govern it. And it is true in the marriage relationship, that is, with the husband and with the wife. God created this relationship between the husband and the wife in marriage. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, one of the things that God did in the very beginning when He created man and woman, He makes the statement, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Of course, this was something that Moses wrote later on, looking back on that time when God did create Adam and Eve, and He instituted the marriage. He brought these two together. Moses makes that statement later, that a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Paul later on in talking Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31 concerning the role of Christ in the church, he compares that between the husband and wife. We find also that he uses this exact same verse in that marriage relationship. God has created it. And since it is God ordained, it is also God governed. That is, He establishes the rules for those in this relationship. He sets up the roles for those individuals, the duties that each one must perform. Also, as we said, He establishes the rules in that relationship. But not only in that relationship, but I believe also who is able to enter into that relationship, who has the right to marriage, and who does not have the right to marriage. These are things that God has established in this relationship. As we said in the very beginning, there are two laws that I think we need to keep in mind in all human relationships. Whatever it might be, if it's a human relationship, we always need to keep these two laws in mind. And this is going to be something that we will bring up in every lesson. And that first law is simply this, that we put God first. Regardless of the relationship, whether it's with a husband or a wife or children, whether it's with friends or relatives or mothers or fathers or whomever it might be, even in the church, we find that in relationships, God comes first. No one is to precede Him. In teaching His disciples concerning the important things in life and the things that were needed, He said to His disciples, Christ did in Matthew 6 and verse 33, to seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. That should be sought first. In Matthew 22 and 37, we find the commandment there that is given that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first commandment. This is in all relationships, we must remember this. God comes first. And the second rule is that, as we mentioned last week, of the golden rule. That is, as Matthew 7 and verse 12 points out, that we are to treat others as we would want them to treat us. Again, whatever relationship it might be. Husband or wife, parent, child, friend to friend, in the body of Christ. These two rules apply. Put God first and practice what we call the golden rule. The family, as God has ordained it in His Word. I think most of us will see in our society today, we might say that it's falling apart. That the things that are happening in our society are having a devastating effect upon the family. The family's falling apart in a certain way, not because of the plan that God instituted. The plan is good. What He instituted there in the very beginning for one man and one woman, that they be together for life, that's good. That's what God wanted. The fault is not in the plan, but the fault is in the man and the woman who have failed in their responsibilities. Husbands and wives, unfortunately, are not willing to live by the rules that have been set up by God. They're not willing to live up to the roles that have been established by God for them in the family. And it seems that in our society today, we want to turn everything upside down. We want to switch things around and let the wife do the duties of the husband and let the husband do the duties of the wives. It seems that so many people are just simply not satisfied with what God had set up. And they look at it and they say, well, something else needs to be done. But it's not the plan. It's those who are trying to implement the plan of God. And when a husband and a wife fail in their responsibilities in the family, when they fail in their relationship one to another, I am convinced it is going to affect everything. Everything in our society. If the husband and wife cannot establish their roles in the family, then it's going to affect the children. That in turn is going to affect the community, which in turn is going to affect the state and the nation and finally the world. All of this stems from this failure in recognition of the roles and the duties between the husband and wife. This is the foundation of our society. The home is. And we need to get that right if we're going to have other things right in society. We find that God has given man a role in this relationship. In the family, the man has two roles, that of a husband and that also as a father if children are brought into the world. This lesson this morning, though, we are more concerned with that of the husband and his duties in this relationship. Later on in the parent-child relationship, we'll deal with the duties of a father toward his children. Males hold, as we know, many different relationships to females outside of that of marriage. And I believe this is something that also needs to be addressed, and we will address it later on in another one of the lessons. But we are mainly concerned this morning with this idea of that relationship between the husband and the wife. We can see, as we are very aware of the things that are going on in our society, that there are problems that are arising in the workplace between men and women. There is a breakdown of proper relationships that exist between the two. As a result of that, there's problems in our society. And I believe, as I said, we need to address the male-female relationship outside of marriage, of the marriage relationship. And I believe the Bible addresses that. But once again, that is not the particular subject we want to look at this morning. We want to look at the husband and his role in the relationship. One of the things that is pointed out very quickly concerning the husband in this relationship is that, as we have noted, he is the head of the house. He is the one that is to be the ruler in this relationship, the one that is to rule over his house. And again, as I said, this is something that is lacking in our society. For whatever reason, and there are a variety of reasons for this, we find that it is lacking. Perhaps it is because we have been influenced by the women's movement, that they want an equality in everything that is going on. And especially in the home, they want an equality. They want an equal voice in whatever decision has been made. They want to rule as co-partners in the home. But God has said that it is the husband who is to be the one who is to lead the home. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, this is something that again is so plainly pointed out. After sin had entered into the world and Satan had tempted Eve and Adam to eat of the forbidden fruit, that of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we find that there were certain things pronounced upon God, or by God, upon the serpent, upon man, and also upon the woman. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, we find that God says this to the woman, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." This is what God said in the very beginning. As the home was instituted, again, as sin entered into the world, as a result of that, this is what God said, that your husband was going to rule over you. Now, this is something that is seen throughout the entire Word of God. And as we can look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, Paul writing there to the saints at Corinth, and he's talking about another matter, but he's making a point by using this. He says there, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." So we plainly see here that the same thing is taught in the New Testament by the inspired writers there as was taught in the very beginning. That her desire, the woman or the wife's desire, was to be for her husband and that he would rule over her. This is a God-given position. This is a position that has been established by God. This is the place for the man in this relationship between the husband and his wife. He is to rule over her. It is a God-given position. Now, as we have pointed out in lessons such as this before, that this does not mean, and God is not trying to say in this, that woman is inferior to man in any way whatsoever. He's not saying that. He is just giving to man this position. He is saying in the home, the man is to be the ruler. He is to be the leader. You know, whenever you get two or more people together to try to do anything, sooner or later, one of them is going to have to take the lead. Oh, you may have some peaceful coexistence as they try to share leadership from time to time, but sooner or later, these two individuals are going to have differences of opinion, and some kind of decision is going to have to be made. God understood this. And so from the very beginning in the home, he says, the man is to be the ruler. The man is to be the head of the home. If you have two individuals who are trying to coexist as leaders, sooner or later, you're going to have a disagreement. Sooner or later, there's going to be some kind of friction. And sooner or later, then those two individuals are going to go their separate way. They're not going to work any longer together. And unfortunately, we have seen in man's concept of marriage today that that's exactly what has happened. That man and his wife will go separate ways when there is any kind of decision or disagreement that is made. God has ordained, though, that there be different roles for the husband and a different role for the wife. And if either reject or if either neglect these roles or these duties, then they must answer to God. I believe, as we can see in our society today, there are a lot of people who misunderstand this arrangement, this ordination by God. There's a lot of people in our society who look at marriage and the way that it is set up, the way that it has been for years, as nothing more than a custom or a tradition. This is the way that it has been in America for 200-300 years, and this is nothing more than a custom. It's nothing more than a tradition, and their idea is that it must be changed. It needs to be changed, this arrangement in marriage that we see about us in our society today. And they want to change it. And if it were a custom, if it were a tradition, then perhaps we would have the right to change it. But it's not. If it is a tradition, it is a God-given tradition. And it must be established in this way as God has said. And there's so many who misunderstand this arrangement. We find some misunderstanding it in a way that They have the concept that it's almost a master-slave relationship. That the wife, or in some instances, maybe even the husband, is to be the slave, and one is to be the master. That they're almost treated as property, to be bought and sold or be treated in that way. But we find that the husband's role in the being the head of the house is that he is to be the head of his house with love. And it is a self-sacrificing love. Note what is said by Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, and verses 23 through 25, and then verses 28 and 29. And when we look at this, we're going to see that it is a very simple but a most profound principle that applies to the marriage relationship and the role that the husband has in that relationship. Paul writes there, beginning in chapter 5 of Ephesians, 23, 24, and 25, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so that let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And then notice what is said in verses 28 and 29. Again, application being made to the husband. "So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church." As I said, we find in this a most simple, yet a most profound principle that applies to the husband and his role in the relationship that we have been talking about toward his wife. That he is to love his wife. It is a self-sacrificing love. Love the same way, he says, he qualifies it in two ways. That the husband is to love the wife in exactly the same way that Christ loved the church, and that he is to love his wife as he would love himself. This is the role. This is the rule that the husband lives by in the relationship between him and his wife. This is his role in this relationship. That he is to be head, but in being head, he loves with a self-sacrificing love. The husband has responsibilities in this relationship also. One of those is set forth, as we mentioned just a few moments ago, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, where it says that he is to cleave unto his wife, or he is to be joined unto her. That he is to leave his father and his mother, and he is to be joined, or he is to cleave unto his wife. This is something that is later on, as we said, mentioned. Christ mentions it in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 5, when he's talking about the reasons for divorce. And also again, Paul in Ephesians 5 and verse 31. What God has done in the marriage relationship is that he has ordained this to be something that is for keeps. That it is to last. That it is not to be something that is to be entered into frivolously. We find that there are only really two exceptions for remarriage. Romans chapter 7 and verses 1 through 3 points these out. One of those being death. The death of the partner allows the individual that is still alive to marry someone else, and they're not called an adulteress. We also find that there is an exception in adultery, that adultery is something that will allow the marriage bonds to be broken, and that one who is innocent will then have the right to remarry. But marriage is not something that is trial and error. It's not an arrangement that says, well, we're going to try it for a little while, and if we don't like it, then we'll just do something else. We'll go out and we'll find another individual that we like. And if that one doesn't work, then we'll find someone else. We find in the very beginning what God said, that a man would leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It is not trial and error. It is not something that is also should be disregarded, saying that this arrangement is obsolete and we're going to do something else. Again, as if it were some kind of custom or tradition that we could do away with. It is not trial and error. We have seen even in our own society the devastating effect that this kind of thinking has had upon the family. This kind of thinking that, well, we can live together for a while, or we can be married, and if it doesn't, we can't make a go of it, then we'll get a divorce and marry somebody else. We've seen that kind, how that has affected our society. In the past, we have seen how that our government, whether it be local or whether it be statewide or nationwide, has allowed divorces for almost any cause. We have states now that have no-fault divorces. And we are reaping the benefit, well, not the benefits, we're reaping the product of that in our society today. Of homes being torn up, of boys and girls growing up not knowing the role that they have in the family relationship of the husband and the wife. We are even seeing now, and I saw this on the news just the other day, of how that some legislators on the state level are trying to do away with no-fault divorce because they see how it has affected the society in which we live. And all we need to do is look to the Word of God and follow that, and everything will be right and everything will be good. But this is not a trial and error arrangement. It is something that is for life. And as we read in Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, we find that God created woman in for this relationship. You know, God did not create when he saw man. There in verse 18 it says in Genesis 2, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." God didn't make another man for man. God didn't make three or four women for man. God didn't say that you could go to the animals and man could be complete with the animals. The animals were already there. God did not do this. What God did was he made a special creation and brought woman into the world. This ought to let us know a little bit of God's estimation of woman. That it took her to make man complete. That there was only one thing in all of God's creation that he saw that was not good. And when he created woman, that was eliminated. Then everything was good. Some men, though, treat their wives as if they're some kind of necessary evil. They seem only to tolerate this arrangement. I'm not saying that they abuse their wives. Many times they simply don't appreciate them. The husband is to leave his father and mother and to cleave or to be joined unto his wife. His primary concern in this relationship then, his duty, his role there, is with his wife. And his affection is transferred to this new home that he has made. That's what one of the duties that he has, one of the responsibilities. He is to leave and he is to cleave or to be joined to his wife. We also know that he is to love his wife as we have read there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 and also in verse 33. But also Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19, Paul, again the same writer, says this same thing concerning husbands and wives. He says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." Ephesians 5, 28 and 33 says there, "even as himself." He is to love his wife. Again, this is his duty. This is the obligation that he has toward her. This is his role in this relationship. He is to love his wife as Christ has loved the church, and even as he loves himself. Because as we can see, what Paul says there, that she really is his body. There in verse 31, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Here is the man's role. He is to love his wife as himself. And love, just as faith, is something that is spoken in actions. You know, an individual can proclaim all day long that they have faith, but what James says in the second chapter is this, that you show me your faith by your works. Love is the same way. We show our love by the things that we do. By being faithful in our marriage vows. By being willing to sacrifice for our wife. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, we find there the word love that is used, and how we are to show forth that love. Well, the word agape is used in Ephesians chapter 5. And that word from the Greek simply means a love that values and esteems. And that's what God commands of us as husbands. That we love, that we value, that we esteem our wives. That's a duty that we have toward them. In Ephesians 5 and verse 29, as we read just a few moments ago, there's two words that are used there. Nourish and cherish. Both of these mean to take care of. That word nourish means to take great care to provide what is needed. And in that we see that it is more than food and clothing, but it is all those things that the wife needs. And the word cherish simply means to keep warm or to take care of or to protect. This is a role that the man has. This is the rule that he is to live by, that God has placed upon him. That he is to love his wife. In this relationship, this is his duty. There's another thing that needs to be pointed out is in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Peter writes there, saying concerning husbands, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I'm afraid sometimes we as men fail here. We fail very miserably in this particular command or injunction that comes from God toward us, in that we do not dwell with our wives with understanding. That is, we don't take the time to learn about them just a little bit. To learn about them as women, and to learn about them as individuals. And it may come to us as a surprise to some people, but there is a difference between men and women. Physically and emotionally, there is a difference. You know, sometimes men say, well, I just can't figure my wife out. And sometimes they don't spend time trying to figure their wives out. But we are to dwell with them with understanding. Learn something about them. A lot of men take the attitude in the marriage arrangement that, well, she is in subjection unto me. She's got to do what I say, so let her learn something about me. Let her learn how I am. But we have an injunction here that says from God, you learn something about your wife. We are to honor them also. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 14. And then also the virtuous woman, as is mentioned in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 28 and 29. We find there that a great deal of honor is given to this individual, this virtuous woman, for what she has done, and praise is given unto her. And again, this is an obligation that we have in this relationship. And finally, as I said at the very beginning, the husband has the obligation of practicing the golden rule toward his wife, to treat her as he himself would like to be treated. And there's something that we must remember, whether we're husbands or whether we're wives, especially in this relationship as husbands, and that is this, that men, this does not mean that she has to earn all of these things. That is, she does not earn our love. She does not earn our respect. She does not earn these things. These are things that are given to her by God as right from her husband. He is supposed to love her. He is supposed to honor her. Regardless of how she may act, he is supposed to do these things for her. It's not as if, well, she's supposed to earn it, and once she's earned it, then I'll let her have it. But until that time, I'm going to treat her whatever way I want to. Whether she lives up to her obligations or not, you still have obligations that you have to live up to. And that is, you love her as Christ loved the church, as you love your own body. That you dwell with her according to knowledge or understanding. That you honor her, that you protect her. That is a right that God has given her in the marriage relationship. And men should not be so concerned about the wife living up to her responsibility in the marriage relationship. What the husband needs to do is worry about his responsibility in living up to what God wants him to do. This is man's role in the relationship. He has a role and he has rules that he lives by. He has obligations and responsibilities. But the woman has a role in this relationship also. As we mentioned a few moments ago, we can get some idea of God's estimation of woman by looking at what happened in the very beginning. God has reserved a very important role for woman. She completed, as we said, the only thing in God's creation that was not good. And that was that man was alone. And when woman was created, she brought to a completion God's creation. One man, as we said, for one woman, was God's divine plan from the very beginning. Even the law of Moses shows an estimation of God's estimation of a woman when he commanded that equal honor be given to father as well as mothers. There are two things wherein men and women are under equal obligation. People who are of the liberal women's liberation persuasion are happy because of this, that we find that there's at least two things that we can agree on where men and women are equal. They have the same duties and same obligation. And one of those is that they are to love each other. The husband is to love the wife, and the wife is to love the husband. Ephesians 5 and 25 says that the husband is to love the wife. And then Titus 2 and verse 4 says that the wife is to love the husband. So they have that equal obligation. In the marriage relationship, they are equal in that. And the other thing is that they are to obey God's will. Both of them equally. As we read just a few moments ago from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, one of the things that Peter says in this relationship is that they are heirs together of the grace of life. You ever thought about that? They're heirs together of the grace of life. Of whatever God gives unto mankind, they are joint heirs in this. They are equal partners in that grace of life that is extended by God. You can turn and you can look to your wife and look to your husband, and she or he is a joint heir. They are heirs together with you in the grace of life, and that's a wonderful thing. We are all equal in that. God has given instructions for the wife in this relationship. Just as there are responsibilities placed upon the man in the home, there are also responsibilities that are placed upon the woman. The woman's role in the home is to be in subjection to her husband. Once again, pointing to Ephesians chapter 5, there in verses 22 through 24, this is what Paul had to say. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You know, there's not any big, long, hard words in those three verses for us to understand, is there? Nothing difficult for us to try to comprehend in what Paul is saying by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But there's some hard things in there for acceptance, isn't there? In the way that we think of marriage and the relationship between husband and wife and men and women today, there's some hard things for us to accept. There's some very hard things for us to apply in our life. Because in our society, we find that people don't want to go along with that. They don't want to go along with what God has to say in this marriage relationship. And some of the biggest problems that arise in the home arise in this particular area. And that is that one will not submit to the other. The wife will not submit to the husband. That the husband then also will not take leadership in the family. We have raised several selfish generations. Not just one, not just two, but perhaps three. Thinking only of themselves. And people have the concept of the marriage relationship is not more or less we have roles to play. God has given those roles to men and women. But in these roles, we are going to decide who has the greatest ability that they are going to fill those roles. But this is not what God has said. Ability does not dictate who is going to be the leader and who is going to be the follower, who is going to be the head and who is going to be in submission. Ability does not dictate that. God dictates that. As I said, we've raised several selfish generations thinking only of themselves. And they were not willing to live up to these God-given roles and obligations that He has given. There are objections when we consider this arrangement. When we consider the arrangement that has been made by God concerning the man being the leader, the man being the head, and the wife being in submission, one of those objections will come from the women. And they will think, well, if I give in to him, if I allow him and he is the leader, then this is going to make him more selfish. He's going to have a tendency to make, this is going to have give him a tendency to be more selfish, that he will do what he wants to do if I give in to him, if I allow him to take this position. An objection might come to the man in this way, that as he thinks about God's commands to him, that he is to love his wife, that he is to treat her as his own body, that he is to, you know, think of her as the Lord thought of the church, his objection might be that, well, the wife could use this to get her way. If I've got to live like that, she might just use that so that she can get her way. She can rule over me in the home as a result of that. What do we have here? Two people worried so much about what the other one is going to do and not worrying about what they're going to do, what their obligations are. But there are objections that are raised such as this. But God has set in the home the man to be the head and the woman to be in submission. But in this leadership role, the man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and as he loves himself. And that the woman is to be in subjection to her husband. Again, these are the things that have been set out by God in this relationship. Now we understand that there are going to be times that will come when there's going to be differences of opinions and disagreements that will arise between the husband and wife. One wanting one thing and one wanting something else. In the way that it is set up in our society today, unfortunately, we have people with strong wills just going their separate ways. The dissolving of the marriage arrangement and people doing whatever they want to. But that's not the arrangement that God has set up. There are going to come times when people, husband and wife, are not going to agree. And they're going to think that their desires are just as logical and just as good for the family as the other one is. And there's going to be a time when one of them must lead. And God has said that is the role of the husband, when decisions such as this must be made. The wife does not have the freedom to leave the husband just because she may disagree with a decision that he has made. She does not have the freedom to reject what he has decided. God has established his place in the home. And that must be followed by the husband and by the wife. In today's society, there's something also that we have found that is peculiar perhaps to our society that needs to be addressed also. And that is, we find a husband and wife living apart in perhaps two separate cities. Perhaps you know some people that are like this. That because of work, because of jobs, one lives in one city and one lives in another city. This is not the way God intended the marriage relationship to be. God intended the marriage relationship to be that they live together. And we find some only seeing each other occasionally. This is not the design of the home. This is not the design that God had in mind when he brought together the husband and wife to bring children into this world. The woman's primary role is in the home. Most of her duties are found there. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14 points this out. And Titus 2 and verses 3 through 5. Where it says there that she is to manage or to rule the home. She is to direct the affairs. This is her domain. Now this does not negate the leadership of the husband in any way at all. That she directs the affairs of the home. As God has given man the task of working to provide for the family, he has given this task also to the woman. That she is to work in the home, direct and manage and rule the home. Again, this does not mean that the woman cannot work outside the home. We've discussed this before. But her first obligation is in the home. Women in the workplace, as we said, brings a new set of problems that our generation is failing to handle. But I believe it is one that is covered in the Word of God. We will talk about that at another time under another relationship. But again, it is a problem, and I think we all understand it as being a problem. The woman's primary role, though, is in the home. She is to rule, she is to manage the home. This is a God-given obligation that she cannot neglect. She cannot turn over to anyone else. She has that obligation placed on her by God. Perhaps there are many other things that we could talk about in this relationship. The role of man and the role of woman, the husband and the wife. Basically, we see these two things from the Word of God. That the role of the man is the leader in the home. That the wife is to be in submission, in subjection unto her husband. This is the way that God has planned it. Again, not according to ability, but according to what He has said. According to the way that He wants it. It's not left up to us. This is not a tradition or a custom that we're allowed to change. But this is the way that God instituted it from the very beginning. Of all the human relationships that God has created, this is the most intimate one. Some of the greatest joys, and unfortunately some of the greatest sorrows, can come from it. God intends in this relationship for man and woman to be complete and to be happy. When He saw man alone, it was something that was not good. And so He created woman. And His creation then was good. Everything about it. This is the way that God intended it. Let us make sure that it is by this pattern that we live. If each one will live up to the obligations that he or she has in this relationship, then the home and the family will be a wonderful and be a happy place. And this is what God intended. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, this lesson was not necessarily designed to tell you what you need to do to become one who is within the fold of safety. But if you are here and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you have repented and are ready to repent of the sins that you have committed, you're ready to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then all that is left after that is for you to be baptized for the remission of your sins. This is what God commands. This comes from His Word. It's not the will of man, it's the will of God, as it is revealed through His Son and through the inspired writers of the New Testament. All you have to do is obey. All you have to do is comply with that. And in obedience, He'll wash away your sins. He'll give you a standing spiritually in His sight that is alive, being able to enjoy then the spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. All of this can be yours simply by obeying the gospel of Christ. If you're here and subject, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?